Attar is a Muslim because of your generosity, Ya Allah. Let him depart from this world with Iman, Ya Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
Our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is reported to have said that the person who recites 1,000 times durood paak upon me, salat wa salam upon me, will not die until Allah azza wa jal shows him his place in Jannah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. We owe a great deal of gratitude to Allah سبحانه وتعالى for giving us life. And more than that, Allah سبحانه وتعالى has created us amongst the best of creation, ashraful makhlukat, and made us human beings. And above that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the gift of iman, faith. And above that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us amongst the ummah of his beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman and we can call ourselves Muslims. But what does it mean to be a Muslim? Being a Muslim means that we must submit totally to the will of Allah. We must submit totally to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for us, we should do that. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade us to do, we should refrain from doing those things. Our lives are regulated. Our lives are regulated by the laws of Sharia. The laws of Sharia tell us what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. Even when it comes to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way we want to worship Allah. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the way Allah desires to be worshipped. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the five daily prayers obligatory upon us. The Quran mentions aqim as-salah, establish salah. So now we decide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made our qibla, the direction that we pray, Kaaba, Masjid al-Haram. We face the holy Kaaba when we pray our five daily salahs. And here from South Africa, the direction is north-northeast. In different cities, the degrees vary. But generally in South Africa, the direction of qibla is the direction in which the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah is in, is north-northeast. If we decide that we want to pray towards the direction the sun rises in, east, if we want to face east and pray, then that prayer, that salah, will not be considered salah. Why? Because that is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed. That is not the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed prayer for us. So we should pray according to the prescription given to us by our beloved Prophet Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Similarly, there are many acts of worship that we could include that we have to do according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zakat, giving alms. There are 8 categories of mustahiqeen. There are 8 categories of deserving people that we pay zakat to. We cannot add a 9th category. Some of those categories do not exist in this day and age. And some of those categories are what we call mansukh. They are cancelled. But over and above what has been mentioned in the Quran, we cannot add our own categories to that and say that I want to pay my zakat into a 9th category or a 10th category, categories that are not mentioned in the Holy Quran. That paying, what you would assume as paying zakat, is actually not the payment of zakat, because you are doing it out of your own wish and desire, not according to the methodology and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as Muslims, our lives are regulated by the laws of Sharia. And we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires to be worshipped. And every aspect of our lives are regulated by this law of Sharia. Whether it is in worship, in prayer, whether it is our business transactions, there are laws regarding tijarat or business transactions as well. Whether we are employees, there are laws regarding ijara, which we have to follow. These are shari laws, and we have to follow them. Interaction between husband and wife, interaction between parents and children, children and parents. All these are regulated by the laws of Sharia. And we have to follow them, because when we declare that we are Muslim, we have submitted totally to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now our lives will be regulated by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared in the Holy Quran or through his messenger, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In this silsila, we will be discussing branches of faith. Branches of faith. There is a hadith in Mubarakah that mentions many different branches of faith. But we will start off discussing Iman in detail. Iman in detail is Amantu Billahi, to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa malaikatihi, his angels, wa kutubihi, his revealed books, wa rusulihi, his messengers, wal yawmil akhiri, the day of judgment, wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala, and good and bad comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal ba'thi ba'd al maut, and life after death. In the first few weeks, inshallah azza wa jal, we will discuss each of these topics as a topic in every session, inshallah azza wa jal. That will cover the subject which we call Imaniyat. It will cover the subject called?
Imaniyat.
Okay? Today, inshallah, azza wa jal, we will start off with beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which forms the fundamentals of Iman, the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Tawheed. Almighty Allah azza wa jal is one. He has no partners, either in being, attributes, actions, commands, or in names. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal is wajibul wujud. I will explain, inshallah Azza wa Jal, what is wajibul wujud. In other words, his existence is necessary, and his non-existence is muhal. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal is qadeem. In other words, he has always existed. Another name for this is also azali. In other words, he will continue to exist. This is also known as abadi. Allah alone is worthy of being worshipped. Okay? This is aqidah number one. So it is a lot to consume. Let us start at the beginning. Allah is one. Okay? Allah is unique. Allah has no partners. There is no one that is equal to Allah in personality, in being, nor in his attributes, nor in his actions, nor commands, nor in his names. We see on this wall here, we find that there are 99 names. These are known as the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is Al-Hayyun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hayyun. It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alive. But we are also alive. But the aqidah we mention here is that Allah has no partners. There is no one that is equal to Allah in being or in attributes. And one of the attributes of Allah is that He is alive. But there is a difference between Allah's living and our living. And what is the difference between Allah's being alive and our being alive? The most fundamental difference between our living and Allah's living is that we are in need of Allah to exist. But Allah is not in need of anyone or anything to exist. For us to be alive, we require oxygen. We have to breathe in the oxygen, we breathe out carbon dioxide. If our heart stops beating, then we will be declared dead. Allah's living is different. Allah's living is different, and our living is different. Allah does not require or need oxygen to be alive. Nor does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala require a heart to be alive. Because Allah is free from having a body, from having a heart, or from having any organs for that matter. Because these are all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example that I could give you is that Allah is As-Sami' and Al-Basir. Allah is all hearing and all seeing. We hear and we see. Right? Don't we hear and we see? Those that are not deaf and those that are not blind can hear and can see. But what is the difference between our seeing and the seeing of Allah? Firstly, our seeing is limited. And Allah's seeing is unlimited. In order for us to see, the first and most important thing we need is that Allah wills us to see. If Allah does not will us to see, and if Allah does not desire that we should see, then we will not be able to see. Another thing that we need is the organ to be able to see. We need eyes to be able to see. And Allah is free from any organs. Allah is the creator of this body. And He cannot be subjected to what He has created. Okay? So, Allah has no partners in being, in attributes, actions, commands, or in names. So there is no one that is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So although we see, our seeing is limited. Although we hear, our hearing is limited. Allah is As-Sami' and Al-Basir. He sees everything and He hears everything. Our seeing is limited. Our hearing is limited. Allah is not needy of anyone to be able to see or anything to be able to see. We need Allah firstly to be able to see. Secondly, we need the tools to be able to see, the organ which is the eyes. We need ears in order to hear. And Allah is free from this. This is just a simple example to get you to understand that even though we see and we hear, our seeing and our hearing is not equal to the seeing and the hearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, if you can write this down, If you can just pick your pens up and write the following definitions down. Wajibul wujud. What is wajibul wujud? Firstly, there are three terms that we are going to learn today. Number one is wajib. Wajib means necessary. What does it mean? Necessary. Wajib means necessary. Okay? The second thing you're going to write is muhal. Muhal means impossible. What does muhal mean?
Impossible.
The third definition you're going to write down is muhal. M-U-H-A-A-L. Muhal. Okay? Impossible. And the third thing you're going to write is mumkin. And mumkin means possible. Okay, you got that? Wajib, what does wajib mean?
Necessary.
Muhal?
Impossible.
And mumkin?
Possible.
Okay. Wujud means existence. What does it mean? Existence. So now I'm going to read the sentence out again. Almighty Allah is wajibul wujud. In other words, his existence is necessary and his non-existence is muhal, or in other words, impossible. Allah's existence is necessary. In order for anything to exist, it is dependent entirely on the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Our existence is mumkin, possible. We could be created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we didn't have to be created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah was not forced into it. Okay? But Allah's existence is wajib, it's necessary. And everything and everyone is dependent entirely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Almighty Allah azza wa jal is qadeem. Qadeem is non-creation. That which always existed. Azali and abadi. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is eternal without a beginning and everlasting without an end. There is no beginning and end. Even beginning and end are points in time. And we cannot restrict Allah to time, because time itself is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So Allah is qadeem means that Allah is non-creation. He always existed. He is eternal without a beginning and he is everlasting without an end. And everything else is what we call hadith. So what is qadeem firstly? Qadeem is non-creation, that which always existed and will always exist. Okay? Eternal without a beginning, everlasting without an end. Okay? The next terminology you're going to write down is hadith. Hadith means that which came into existence from non-existence. That which came into existence from non-existence. This is hadith. So we have a start date and we also have an end date. There will be a time when the angel will blow the trumpet and everything other than Allah, including the angel and the trumpet, will cease to exist. And then by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the trumpet and the angel will come back into existence on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that trumpet is blown for the second time, all of creation will come back into existence. Okay? This is with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqidah number two. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal is free from need. In other words, Allah is neither dependent on anyone nor on anything. Rather, the entire creation is dependent on Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. In Surah Ikhlas, we read Allahus Samad. Now, samad means independent. But independent for Allah means something a little bit different compared to the common understanding of independence. Somebody says that, you know, I have a job and I am independent. I don't need my parents or anyone else. I can take care of myself. I can look after myself. So I am an independent person. But when we talk about independence of Allah, it means something else. What it means is that Allah is not dependent on anyone or anything for anything. But everything and everyone is entirely dependent on Allah for everything. I will repeat that. If you can write it down, it will be Madina. When we talk about the independence of Allah, Samadun, okay? We say Allahu Samad, Allah is independent, okay? What does it mean? Allah is not dependent on anyone or anything for anything. Say it after me. Allah is not dependent on anyone
or anything
for anything, but everyone and everything is entirely dependent on Allah for everything. Is it? Do you understand what it means? That Allah needs no one or nothing. We require the earth to live on. We have to stand on the ground. Eh? We require oxygen. As soon as we go out of space, we run out of oxygen, we die. For us to exist, we require the sunlight. We require plants. We require animals. We require many things. We require water. But Allah is not in need of any of these things, because all of these things are the creation of Allah. Even place, makan, place, is the creation of Allah. You know, a lot of people, they have a misconception and they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipresent, means He is present everywhere. Everywhere is also place. And Allah is free from place. It's not as though Allah created creation and then He occupied creation, because Allah is not subject to change. Allah didn't create something and then go and occupy it. Because Allah is Qadim. Right? So before makan, before place was created, Allah existed. And if you are dependent on anything, then that which you are dependent on needs to exist before you exist. An example is, you are dependent on water, you are dependent on oxygen. So Allah had to create water and oxygen and the earth before Allah created human beings. Allah created human beings, but Allah created the earth for when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was sent onto the earth, oxygen had to be there before he got there. The earth, the ground had to be there before he got there. Water had to be there before he got there, because human beings are dependent on these things for survival. But Allah is Qadim. He always existed. And everything else, including water, including oxygen, including all the other gases, including food, including place, they are all hadith. They have come into existence from non-existence. They have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah can never be dependent on that which He Himself created. You understand? Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallahu ala alika wa ashabika ya Habib Allah. So we have understood what the meaning of Samadun is, that when we talk about the independence of Allah, it's twofold. One is that Allah is not dependent on anyone or anything for anything, and the other is everything else other than Allah is entirely dependent on Allah for everything. Okay? Aqidah, belief. To comprehend Allah Azza wa Jal's Zat, by means of reason and intellect is absolutely impossible. For that which can be understood by means of reason can be comprehended and encompassed by the mind. And there is nothing that can enclose or comprehend Allah's divine self. However, through Almighty Allah's doings of Al, His attributes can be recognized. And through His attributes, one is able to know about Almighty Allah's Zat. So, when we think of Allah, whatever you can imagine in your mind, that can never be Allah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ Allah is nothing, nothing that you can even imagine. The intellect cannot comprehend Allah. Because when we think of Allah, we should not think of something physical. When we cannot think of a body, we cannot think of limbs, we cannot think of a person sitting on a chair, for example. When we think of Allah, we know Allah enough to worship Him. How do we know Allah? Through what Allah, through the attributes of Allah, through the af'al of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know Allah enough to worship Him. But we cannot completely comprehend the Zat or the personality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to think about it is discouraged as well in Islam. To think too much about the personality or the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatan wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habib Allah. So we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we are discouraged to think too much about the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because anything that the mind can comprehend can never be Allah. Because in order for your mind to comprehend it, you need to encompass it. And our minds are limited, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited. So that which is limited cannot comprehend that which is unlimited. You understand? So we can never, our minds and our intellect, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing that you can even imagine. There is no example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing that you can comprehend, nothing that your intellect can think of can be Allah. Because if you can think it, it's not Allah. Okay? We know that Allah is one. We know that Allah is all powerful. We know Allah through His attributes, through His names, through His actions, through His af'al. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we cannot completely comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because creation cannot encompass the Creator. That which is limited cannot encompass that which is unlimited. In order for you to have a knowledge of something, you know, if I think of a book, I'll think of the covers, I'll think of pages in it. You know, that will be my thought of what a book is like. But there's no example, there's nothing, there's no point of reference when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must know just this much, that we know enough to worship Him. We are His creation and He is our creator. To think too much about the Zat, about the personality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can get led astray. Okay? So when we are talking about the Zat, the personality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't create an image in your mind of what Allah is. Okay? Because whatever you create in your mind, that is not Allah. And it can never be Allah, because there is no mithal, there's nothing like Allah. There's no example that you can use. There's no point of reference when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatan wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. My dear Islamic brothers, today alhamdulillah azza wa jal, we have learned a lot about beliefs regarding Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay? And in one lesson, I know it is a lot to consume. But we have learned essential things of faith. Because when we say that we believe in Allah, we have to know what to believe about Allah. Because just saying that I believe in Allah is not enough. We have to believe in what is called zaruriyat deen, the essentials of deen. So what do you believe about Allah? You believe in Allah. You believe there is a deity worthy of worship. But what do you believe about Him? That is also important. Do you believe that there can be another Allah? Because if you believe that, then it goes against Tawheed and your belief in Allah is incorrect. Do you believe that Allah can have children? If you believe that, then your belief in Allah is incorrect. So yes, it is essential to believe in Allah, but in these lessons we will learn what to believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are certain terminologies we have learned. I know it's a lot for the first lesson. I hope that you have taken down the notes and recorded it. And inshallah azza wa jal, throughout the series called Branches of Faith, we will learn many other beliefs, and we will also learn about that particular hadith mubarakah where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quoted approximately 70 branches of faith. These days many people make mistakes when it comes, when they speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people, you'll hear them saying, you know, the man above. So already we have learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a man. Allah is the creator of man. And we cannot restrict Allah to above, because above is direction. And Allah is the creator of direction. He is not subjected to His creation. So when we refer to Allah as being almighty, you see, whenever you see, when you see the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, it's not just Rahman and Rahim, the most merciful, the most compassionate, As-Sami', Al-Basir, the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Allah's sifat are not restrictive. They are infinite. You cannot put a limit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's zat or sifat, His personality or His attributes. So inshallah azza wa jal, throughout the series we will be discussing different branches of faith. Today we have discussed about beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will continue with the same topic, beliefs about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the next lesson inshallah azza wa jal. Thereafter we will speak about nubuwwat or prophethood, and then we will go on from there as well into different subjects as we go along with the series inshallah azza wa jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and hidayah to practice upon what we have learned, to entrench those beliefs in our hearts, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to also teach it to others and invite more and more people towards this beautiful deen of Islam. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Attar is a Muslim because of your generosity, ya Allah.